come home. Mama, don't come home. 'Cause daddy still ain't gone. Mama, don't come home to your grave. Sister, please don't preach. Sister, please don't preach Take your golden rod and your word of God and go away.
Welcome to the Dave and Giggles show. Coming back at you after a while, but we're here. After a long while. All right, Giggles, we got a lot of people via E-Studio.
E-Studio.
That's how we're doing. E-Studio. Who do we got?
So we have in Philly, we have Dan Collins. I think in Philly or close to it, we have Josh Heisel. He's also known as Heisel.
I also want to say, Dan Collins, before you jump, just like jump through the people as fast as you can. Dan Collins was, I think, our first musical guest of all time on the Dave and Giggles show.
It's true.
Hey-o.
All right, so there's Dan Collins. Keep going.
So we also have Josh Heisel, who's a former Marine. He's still a Marine. He's a Marine vet. And they're going to be talking to us about their film, From War to Wisdom, that's coming out in January. They got a big Indiegogo campaign just started a few days ago, and we're going to try to help them out. We're going to talk about the film. We're going to talk about Iraq and Afghanistan. It's Veterans Day, which is pretty special. So we're talking about
Josh. Let me ask you this question. I know like the Marine Corps is like a brotherhood. Is it once you're in the Marines, you're always a Marines?
Yeah, once you're in that title.
Yeah, like
life.
You can go anywhere as long as you have brother in there, they accept you as one.
Absolutely.
That's really awesome. I wish I had that. I only have that with Giggles, and that doesn't really mean much.
That's the only brotherhood we have. And then also in my studio, which is in Denver, we're doing a little cross-country New York, Philly, Denver action here. It's a good test, and I think it's going to work out nice. But we got my buddy Matt, who's my neighbor friend. And, you know, we've played a little Frisbee. We've gone out. We've gotten a couple drinks together. We're starting it slow. But, you know, I just moved into this neighborhood, so I got, you know, 3 months
in. Do you want it to Do you want it to progress to something more?
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But so he's actually a Navy vet, so it's a Veterans Day theme here. But I do want to jump in to what's happening with Dan and Josh.
Sure. Go ahead.
You want to just roll with that?
Well, first of all, I mean, Giggles just drops the ball every chance he gets. The song that we came in on, tell us about that song.
Heisel, you want to field that one?
Yeah. That's a song I wrote. Actually, I just had a dream one night, woke up and wrote the song. I had a dream that my parents are divorced. So I had a dream that my dad showed up drunk and was going to kill everyone. Anyway, so I just kind of do the Freudian thing a lot of times and write down my dreams. And I just got a steel guitar.
In the dream, did your dad kill everybody?
No, I was able to stop him.
Oh, nice.
And oddly enough, I was able to stop him with some fresh tomatoes.
Oh, of course. I mean, if you're going to stop him,
eat these tomatoes. And he stopped. He ate the tomatoes.
Nice. There you go. Just straight like an apple? Just eating it like an apple?
Yep. A little bit of salt. Nice.
So if I can give a little bit of description from what I've seen from the trailer and the Indiegogo campaign, this is a war documentary, but it's a different war documentary. It's not something from what I was reading that's sort of like, oh, this is bad, this is what's happening. You guys are trying to shed a positive light. The question is, why is this a different kind of war documentary? What separates it from the other documentaries out there?
Well, I mean, for the most part, at least for me, when I got home from my second tour, I got out of the Marine Corps back to Cincinnati. It was documentaries started flying out, right? Tons of them, and they were all this doom and gloom kind of shit. PTSD. Very important topics, but everything was just had this negative spin. And I thought to myself, well, gosh, there's all kinds of. I know a bunch of Marines that are doing positive things, or at least trying to do something positive. In spite of all these bad things that have happened. And, you know, we should tell that story. In years of touring, playing music, I, you know, crossed paths with Dan Collins about 6 years ago. And I knew that I'd found the person to kind of make this film with me.
That's awesome. So Josh, how many tours did you do?
I did two. I was in the initial invasion of Iraq. And then, GW lands the plane and all that, mission accomplished, so we all go home. And then, obviously, everything went to shit, so Marines had to go back to Ramadi, Fallujah, and lock those cities down, and Ramadi was the city that I went to with Fox 25.
So let me ask you this question. So when you came back from both duties, after both tours, what was the reaction when you came back from the first one compared to when you came back the second one?
Sort of the same, because I was returning each time to San Diego where I was stationed. And that's
okay,
a military
so you went
town.
Back to base.
Yeah, and that being such a military town, very welcoming. And it was the same in Ohio. It was very welcoming.
That's cool.
Only issue with veterans is, especially infantry guys like myself, you're a hero for about a month, and then you're fucking drunk. You know what I mean? You're a problem. You're an issue.
Really? Is that kind of like all over for like every kind of person coming back?
Yeah, because you were just in a haunted house for 8 months, and you got out of that. You're trying to make sense of it all. And at the same time, expected to readjust to civilian life and get a good job. And it just doesn't compute. So you get to drinking or whatever, you know.
So do they just let you go? Like, when you get back, do they just, like, say, okay, go ahead, you know, we're here for you, but we're not really going to help you unless you ask for our help?
Well, it's sort of strange, you know, and I won't go into a big lengthy detail, but when we got back, it was like, hey, if anyone's having a hard time, you know, before we go on leave here, you can talk to the chaplain. A lot of us weren't religious. A lot of us were just not atheists or whatever, just we weren't anything. We're just Marines.
Right.
And you're not going to go dropping those trigger words and miss out on your liberty. So, yeah, everyone just said, we're fine. You know, go home. And I think it's sometimes several years later that PTSD issues like that really come to the surface.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So
that's
it's
not how long. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's not just you that's in this documentary. There's like three other guys, four other guys. You guys are interviewing a lot of veterans, a lot of guys coming back. That you know, some are wounded, some tried to commit suicide. How was it reaching out with these guys, being like, hey, can you just tell your story? Because I'm sure, you know, not everybody really wants to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know. Dan is an experienced filmmaker, and I am not. I had the idea, and I had a title to the film. I had this idea. But, you know, Dan always says, you know, a good film is all about access. You can't just walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm Dan Cones. Tell me all your deepest, darkest secrets. Go.
It's true. You can't do that.
It doesn't work
unless
that way.
We do that on the show.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Exactly. People open up to us. I don't know why, but let's just get into it.
You buy me a beer, and I will entertain you.
Love it.
But and, you know, Dan follows that ethos. It's about access. It's not about forceful. You know, you're not. You know. And I've had issues being a musician, running around with Neil Young. I did CNN, and they kind of. Edited some things and made me look like a complete asshole. And so everyone has trust issues with the media. But that's why this film is 3 years in the making, because, I mean, Dan spent an entire year building relationship with my introduction with these Marines. I mean, he didn't turn a camera on for a long time. Just got to know him. You know, became a part of our group. And that's the key here. That access is something that a lot of filmmakers would salivate over that. There's filmmakers that are very well known that are asking Dan, how did you do this? They're almost pissed off that he was able to do this. And his answer is simply, I gained their trust and became their brothers before I ever turned on the camera.
Dan is a good man. There's no doubt about that. He's a good-hearted man, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
So
go ahead, Bradley.
No,
go ahead.
Right. It's all right. It's, you know.
Go ahead, Gig.
we got a lot of questions. We want to ask these guys a lot of questions. So your therapy for coming back from the two tours was music. I'm guessing it was kind of, you know, I don't want to say lucky, but it was nice that you had that skill to kind of get that release. Some of these other guys, you know, may not have had that. It was really more of a statement instead of a question.
Well, you know, I
this is why I don't let you ask state questions.
I don't believe in luck or fate. I believe in work. But I will say
that's
this,
a true
man.
Marine Corps, I mean, yeah, right? That's a true Marine Corps.
Life is very arbitrary, isn't it? I mean, my papa forced us to play guitar. Took us to lessons. So, yes, I'm a good guitar player. And then I went to war. You know, that didn't have to happen either, but 9/11 happened and I left work to join the Marine Corps.
Why did you join, Josh?
I joined on 9/11. I mean,
you did?
I was working at the Marriott and I left and went to a recruiter and you know, said, hey, I want to go fight. And a few months later, you know, around January 21st, I went to boot camp. So,
wow. How old were you when you joined?
19.
You're a baby. Baby.
Yeah, well, I didn't think so then, but now I do.
But, right, exactly. How do you feel about it now? How do you feel about it now? See, you know, having all these years behind you, would you have done it again?
Oh, absolutely. I met some of the greatest men I'll ever meet. I had the privilege to take it to the enemy. And really, honestly, I mean, regardless of whether the president's an asshole or why the fight is, it's not why Marines are successful, because they fight for one another. It's right. Not about, there's no politics with us, you know. Right. And I'm glad that I went over there with that gun club. I mean, because I could have gone with a different branch and might have got my ass killed, but it's all, you know, it all happened, and it's all, here we are.
Here we are, exactly, and here we are on the Dave and Giggles show. So here's my question about the film. If you were going to sum it up, like, what was your goal in making the film? Like, what did you want to express, and did that happen? Did, like, you go into it with one idea and then come out of it with the same idea, or did things just get turned around, other things came about, and, like, it just really opened your eyes to something else?
Well, in any journey, things happen along the way, but I basically, you know, I was touring with a group that was in Philly a lot. You know, they kind of stationed themselves in Philly while we were on the road. So I knew Dan from Common Ground on the Hill, and I started to crash at his house because things weren't going so well with this band. And we had so many conversations about this film. I mean, just sitting on the porch, Dan has the best torch.
He does
sunset
porch,
situation, you know, you've been there. Many a night we'd sit out there and just play the guitar, you know, have a cigarette. Dan does not smoke anymore. We'll say that since, you know, we're public here, but.
Congrats, Dan. Congrats, buddy.
He once did. But we had this conversation time and time again about this film, about this idea, and really we just dreamed and dreamed and dreamed, you know, like good friends do. And sure, I guess, you know, yeah, we did exactly what we set out to do. But, you know, also, yes, things fell into our laps along the way. People reached out to us and said, hey, here's a guy in L.A. who's helping homeless veterans. And I look it up, and it's my buddy. It's someone I served with. And holy shit, I know this guy. You know, these things just happened along the way. And it added to our story, but our mission was, you know, absolutely a success.
So you went out and you found all these people who were either struggling or trying to make good with what they came out of the Marine Corps with, and you were trying to tell their story. That's pretty much what the whole documentary is about, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very cool.
And something, Josh and Dan, something as a filmmaker here, you always got to have, for especially for a documentary, some good B-roll. And I, you know, I hate to call it B-roll because it's, you know, it's war footage that you guys have access to. Tell us a little bit about, like, how you got all this this combat footage.
Well, basically, Josh. So Josh served with Fox 25, Fox Company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Regiment, and that's a very small company, give or take about 150 guys. So it's a small group of people. And during the invasion, there was a filmmaker, also an ex-Marine from the Vietnam era. His name is Mike Saray, and he's a well-known filmmaker. He's got a company called Globe TV, and he does all kinds of different work. So he was embedded with these guys. So after I met Josh, and this goes back a little bit to the stories we were telling, we started telling stories of guys in Fox 25 because that's who Josh had the closest bonds with. Those were veterans that we were bringing into a veterans program that we started running called the Common Ground on the Hill Veterans Initiative, and we can get into that later. But so it developed outwards from there. But along the line, basically Mike Saray has had all of this footage from both the invasion, and plus he went back with Fox 25 when they were serving in Ramadi in 2004. And Josh reached out to him, put me in touch with him, and he was generous enough to give us access to, like, over 100 hours of combat footage that basically nobody's ever seen. Some of it's been in some of Mike's he's had specials on Nightline, ABC, like, big primetime specials. But they're news documentaries. You only see, you know, so much of the footage. So he said, I mean, about a month ago, he sent me a box of tapes just on good faith and on Josh's word, and said, here it is. Here's the war in a box, man. Go through it. Capture That's as much great. As you can. We'd love to have it digitized. Take a good look at it and, you know, use what you want. And we'll figure out, you know, licensing and whatnot later. But so I've had the privilege of looking through this stuff for the past couple of months.
So was that his own personal footage, or was that like he was a war correspondent type thing?
He was a war correspondent, but he owns the footage because he did it through his own company.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so and Mike's a very established filmmaker. So
was he a part of the Corps, or was he just along for the ride to get all the stuff?
He was a Marine Corps veteran in Vietnam.
He was a recon pilot in Vietnam.
Yeah, and Josh, I think you could probably attest to this, but I think that really helped with the bonds that he formed with the guys in Fox. Him being a Marine, I think that went a long way. But basically, the bottom line is, as a filmmaker, we have access to this footage where I always say this to people, making this movie, it's as if I could go back in time and say, God, I really wish I could send a cameraman with Heisel and his boys over there. That's the kind of footage we have. Nobody has footage like that. Like I haven't really seen a documentary other than one where the footage that they're using is literally of the guys who are featured in the doc. So that I think is one of our strongest sort of resources.
That's amazing. I want to go into Blackheart Blues, which Dan, tell us a little bit about Blackheart Blues before we get into it.
Sure. So again, when I met Josh, we met at this traditional music and arts camp that we both teach at. It's called Common Ground on the Hill. And we started a veterans initiative where we raise money for scholarships to bring veterans into this program. And they study music, they study arts. We talk about politics and philosophy, and it's a really cool program. But naturally, Josh originally reached out to a handful of guys from his company. And Fox 25, the name of that company is the Blackhearts. So as I was hearing these stories, this song just came out of me. And I'm a songwriter. I've been performing for 25 years myself, but I've never written I never really write songs about anything that's not my own experience. And this was one of the first times that I wrote a song that was really channeling other people's stories. And again, as a civilian, to try to write a song that channels the experiences of veterans, that's a touchy subject. But because I knew these guys, when I played it for them, they really responded to it. So recently I went into a studio in Philadelphia and recorded it. This version of it, I pulled out a Telecaster and just did a simple two-track version of it.
So I haven't heard this version yet.
Oh, you haven't heard that?
No, this will be the first time I've heard it.
Here it is.
There we go. Wow. Nice. Let me ask you one quick question before we get into it. How do you feel like the Corps responded to you being there, Dan? Did they, like, welcome you with arms, or was it, like, a little, like, tense at first, and then eventually you grew as a family with them?
Well, I can only speak for the, you know, about a dozen guys that I directly interact with, but because Josh introduced me to them first and we're like best friends at this point, they had a level of trust for me at the beginning, but that I then had to earn. And as far as I know, we consider ourselves brothers now too. Now, I'll never have the same bond that combat veterans have with them. I don't want to imply that, but all those guys and me, I love them, you know. And I think that they trust that, you know, if I'm singing a song about them, if I'm making a film about them, they trust that I'm going to do it authentically. So as far as I know, as far as I've heard, they trust me with these kinds of stories. So that's nice. The reason I had the sort of the balls to record a song like this.
Nice. All right, let's get into it. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Indiegogo campaign. And what else you guys are looking forward to doing. So here it is, Blackheart Blues.
Percentage on the blood I shed. You can't pin a medal on the living dead. You can't hold a candle to the things I did. But this burning world is making me see red. Ah, this burning world is making me see red. I pulled the trigger and I lost some friends. Now they're pouring healers
in the promised land. And I know you college boys won't understand. There ain't no killers in the marching band. I ain't no killers in the marching band. We've been up and down this old road a million times. I can't bury your dead, and you can't dance with mine. We'll just lay them down to rest, and we'll let their spirit shine, and we'll be fine, just fine. We'll be fine now, just fine. Can't blame your seven sons for what they've done. You can't blame the black hole on the setting sun. You can't cry on the shoulders of your buried friends when you're the only man who's left to stand. When you're the only man who's left to stand. So don't do your hair up, mama, don't shine your shoes. You can't bury memories in old dress blues. Burn your yellow ribbons now and lock your doors, 'cause your baby boy ain't coming home no more. Ah, your baby boy ain't coming home no more. We've been up and down this old road a million times. I can't bury your dead, and you can't dance with mine. We'll just lay them in the ground, and we'll let their spirit shine, and we'll be fine, just fine. Oh, we'll be fine now, just fine. Oh, we've got to be fine now, just fine. Oh, we're gonna be fine now, just fine.
Dan Collins, Black Heart Blues. Good work, man, good work.
Dang, that's heavy. That's real heavy.
I mean, it is heavy. Geez. It's real heavy. I don't know why you got to point out, you know, like talk about us college boys like that, though.
Well, Heisel's in college now, so I get to call him college pupil. So.
College boy.
So let's talk about, this is big, funding. Because obviously films, they cost money to make, and nobody's throwing a ton of money your way to make a movie that's, you know, probably going to help people. You know, they want the big blockbusters. They want the stuff that's, you know, explosions and things like that. But this is, you know, hitting at a harder meat. And so you guys just came out with an Indiegogo campaign pretty recently.
Yeah, we launched it today, actually, for Veterans Day.
Oh, nice.
We've been building an audience online for almost a year now and releasing clips. And basically, we've been working on this film for over 3 years, just getting all the footage together, doing it on our own time and our own dime, and just preparing ourselves to the point where we could get enough of a footprint to kind of reach out for some real support. And so right now we're just raising funds specifically for post-production. We've got everything filmed short of, I'm going to be in LA next week doing a few more interviews. I've got one more film trip up to Maine this month, and then we're pretty much wrapped. So we need a couple months to edit. So we're right now we're targeting $30,000 to do all of the post-production, soundtrack recording, music mixing, mastering, etc. And then at that point, we've reached out to a lot of other different funders for future phases where, you know, we're very confident this is going to premiere at some big festivals, both based on, you know, my track record as a film producer and also just the powerful content. We think it's going to get out there. So at that point, we're going to be reaching out to other funders for so that we can hire a publicist and that kind of thing. But right now, we just want to get the film edited, and we're confident that once that's done, and once we get it in front of the right eyes, it's going to make a splash out there. So that's what we're doing now. And the Indiegogo campaign is, we launched it today. We made a couple $1,000s in our first day. So we're really excited about that. And we're going to be harassing everybody online for the next 60 days about that. So keep your eye out for it.
That's awesome. And I mean, as far as right now, you guys have just launched it today and you're already over $2,000. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad for a first day.
Yeah, not bad for a first day at all, you know. So the website, Indiegogo, is there like a website particular, or do you want to just send them to go there?
Yeah, the Indiegogo website is like kind of a strange link. I don't know why they haven't simplified their links. But basically, the best way you can find it is our actual website is wartowisdom.com. And on our homepage, you can watch the trailer, and all of our YouTube videos have a direct link to Indiegogo. Also, our Facebook page is facebook.com/From War to Wisdom. And if you go on that page and like that page, we've got posts all over the place. We're going to be serving them up every day of the campaign. So that's kind of the best way to get to the actual site.
Nice.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the behind-the-scenes people in your film. I noticed you have, for your assistant director of photography, you have Pascal. Now give us a little elevator pitch on Pascal. This guy's been in some, like, you know, tough situations himself as a cameraman, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Pascal Diekman is a cameraman that I've worked with my whole professional career through the company Teleduction, which is based in Delaware. And I've been working with them for 13 years now. So he and I developed a really good relationship. And my boss during my sort of day job is Sharon Baker. She's a director. She's been in this business since I was born. And I got to give her props because she's really taught me how to interview people, how to get access to the right people, and how to really engage people. But Pascal is just one of these guys that I've always worked with. So for the first, like, 2 years, he was my cameraman. I was bringing him out to all the shoots. He's an expert lighting technician, and he was the guy doing the interviews. And then about a year ago when we launched our trailer, we did some initial fundraising, and then I got a hold of – I invested in all my own film gear. I formed my own company. So since then, I've been filming everything. So we're kind of splitting the duty, but he's been everywhere. He actually did two different stints in Iraq as a cameraman as well. So he really related to – the subject matter. He knows Josh Heisel as well. He's kind of a big, burly German. He'll get in your face. He's filmed all over the world in lots of different conflict situations. So he's a huge asset to us for sure.
Nice.
That's really cool.
And any other music supplied by any other artists, or are you pumping most of the music yourself?
Yeah, we have a few different guys. I mean, Josh and I are going to be recording a lot of the soundtrack ourselves. But we also have another Marine Corps veteran, Nick Salcedo, who lives in California. He does some digital compositions. And if you go on our YouTube channel, several of the clips there feature his music. And then we're also reaching out to some other connections that we've made over the years. Some of the guys, you Dave and Giggles, that you've met in Philly, I think the last time you came through here, are helping us out with that too. So we hope that by the end of it, you know, we're going to have a whole separate soundtrack featuring like a half a dozen artists at least that will also release that too, so everybody can hear the music behind it. Because, you know, I mean, filmmaking is my passion. The Marine Corps is Josh's heart and soul, but we're both musicians, and music is going to play a huge role in this film. And as a matter of fact, speaking of the journey from War to Wisdom, I mean, Heisel's music was, I think, the sort of the first lifeline that both in country and when he got out that allowed him to express himself. So really the origin of this film is Heisel's music and what that did for not only him, but for other vets who could relate to it. So this is definitely a music-driven film.
I like
That's
it.
Really awesome.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, best of luck to you guys.
Yeah, here's hoping. And, you know, we talk about the Indiegogo. We're pushing that as hard as we can. We're going to raise as much money as we can. But we're going to do this film no matter what. It's in our hearts and in our souls. Like, no matter what, this thing will hit festivals next spring. If we made over $2,000 today, if we don't make another penny, we're going to release this film. That's a fact. I mean, we kind of hope that we don't have to do it for $2,000. It's probably closer to $200,000 when you really put it on paper. But it's, we both feel that this is like the most important artistic work that we've done. At least I certainly feel that way. So this puppy's coming out one way or the other.
Nice, nice. Let me ask you, and this is a question for both of you guys, Josh and Dan. If there was three people that you'd want this film to be, you know, if you had a captive audience of three members, who would you want to see this film?
Good question.
I don't know. Three young Marines who just got over from Iraq or Afghanistan. I have plenty of people that I could call today. I've certainly connected myself through the years here playing music. But the opinion I care most about is the opinion of my brothers. My mom's going to like it. That's guaranteed, right? She's going to tell me I did good job.
She'll probably be your biggest fan, no doubt.
Anyone who's a fan of mine and buys my albums will most likely dig it. And all those opinions matter, but I'd really like to know that, you know, that the boys see it as legitimate, you know, and see as positive.
Josh, let me ask you this question. As a guy who's never been in the military and someone who has and has such a bond there, what are like when you come home from war or a leg out there, what are some misconceptions that we just don't know, or what would you want like the regular person to know, or would you want to tell them when you get back? Like, what do we not get as far as like you, what you put in and what you want for everyone to know when you get back?
Well, I think first and foremost, the whole question of did you kill anyone? That's about as appropriate as asking if does your mother like anal? You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I was going to go somewhere with that, but I decided against it. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a big one. Me being back on a college campus, especially today being Veterans Day, was a very difficult day. Not because I'm having bad thoughts and I'm sad, but because I'm just surrounded by morons who don't know, you know, how to act. But I would say, honestly, man, all I wanted to do when I got back was to, I felt like I was so behind, you know. Everybody is graduating with a bachelor's, and you're just getting out of the Marine Corps.
Right.
Which, basically, infantry Marine qualifies you either be a cop or a janitor. And there's not really a lot of job skill there that translates to the civilian world. But honestly, man, I think the most important thing here is that we bridge this gap between civilian and combat veteran, because there's definitely a gap there.
Totally. I definitely believe
you're a hero. Now, one day a year you're a hero. The rest of the year you're that guy that I don't know. I'm not gonna like slap your kids. I'm a normal person, you know.
Yeah.
That's a big one, though. I mean, it's like there's a lot of stigmas that come with being a combat veteran.
There really is. And I really don't feel like obviously the appreciation is not there. But I think the fake appreciation in the American public, it's like, we appreciate you, we appreciate you, we love you, support the troops. But as soon as we say it, or I'm not going to speak for myself, but as soon as America kind of says it, we're turning our backs on you. We're like, all right, we did our part, and so that's good enough.
Right.
You know, and we don't really truly appreciate what, you know, what you guys do and the sacrifices you make as far as like even giving up that time between, you know, your first active duty day until you get out. And you just put your life on pause for that time. And when you get back, like you said, everything is like, I got to catch up. I got to find out what's going on. I got to know I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. So it's like you really are like coming back to something that you don't even know if you fit into anymore. So it's something I think as American public, we just don't get.
Yeah, well, and most of the time, I mean, especially today, all days, a lot of these shout-outs are self-gratifying. I mean, I have family who are guilty of that. I went through this thing because my brother, my son, my cousin, my uncle went to war, so I went through it as well. And then people comment and say, oh, you're such a brave soul because your relative did this. You know, there's a lot of self-gratification when it comes to saluting anything. I mean, it's not just veterans. I mean, Facebook is a terrible sort of platform because people say, I did this, or I know someone who's been through this. In facto, I've been through it. And so that's kind of annoying, but at the same time, I truly appreciate that this nation has kind of a day to remember. And one way or the other, you're thinking about it. I mean, you're thinking about it. I mean, it's Veterans Day. So that's what's on your mind. That's the conversation of the day, right? I mean, everywhere you go. And that's a good thing, there's a lot of self-gratification that goes along with it. Like, hey, I do this for them and praise me because I rock a yellow ribbon on my car.
Yeah,
exactly. I live in Southern Ohio, man. I mean, it's pretty bad out here.
Yeah. As far as like on the base or in general?
Yeah.
On the base or in general?
Oh, no, in general, I'm saying. On the base, it's the people who work on base and stuff, they're just working. Yeah. And, you know, they always mean well. It's the thing is, in America, people always mean well.
Yeah.
But they skip the whole part where they're an idiot.
Where they actually really wholeheartedly care, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, do you really care? I mean, it's like this is our ALS Ice Bucket Challenge Day.
Yeah, I didn't
it's
do
true.
It. I didn't do the I didn't do the challenge, but I donated money. I was like, all right, I don't have to dump water in my head.
Yeah,
I'll donate
that's the better
$50,
option.
You know,
one of the things that we've been trying to get at is I hear this over and over, and we have an interview with a Marine named Rick Pickrell, another guy named Scott Blakely, and they put it in different ways. But Rick said to me in this amazing interview we have, he was like, we're at war and America was at the mall. And Scott said, we were over there for 10 years and your average American never had to change or sacrifice a single thing because of the war. Now, there are good people here who are still doing really good work and who are really thinking about what's going on. But basically, they were saying, we're over there fighting and America really didn't have to change a thing, right?
No.
And what happens is when the vets get back, you find a lot of people saying, thank you for your service. Now, I don't really want to make eye contact with you. I just want to go about my day. Like, I feel better now. And what we're trying to tap into is that you have all of these veterans from all branches now that have this amazing potential. They have leadership skills. They have this amazing training that gives them the ability to complete any mission, to adapt and overcome, to accomplish whatever they set their mind to. And they get back and number one, they get screwed by the system. You know, we don't go heavily into the VA in this film because we really want to talk about solutions. But basically, they get completely screwed by that system. The American public doesn't understand or really care to try to understand what they went through. And then the resources aren't there to allow them to exercise this potential in other ways. So, again, this film is really just looking at, okay, if you took, like Josh said to me, that for pretty much the day we started talking about this, he said, imagine a whole company of Marines. A company of Marines could take down like an American city. Take the greatest fighting force in the world and turn them towards doing good, whatever that means. Turn that potential towards helping homeless veterans, reforming the VA system, like re-examining the way we look at how vets are being prescribed medications instead of actual helpful psychological care. You know, take all of that potential and direct it towards social change and see what happens. And we're really hoping that, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. We've gotten emails from guys out there who have seen our trailer and emailed us out of the blue, not people that we know, who have said, holy shit, like, I felt completely isolated and I felt like nobody understood what I was trying to say, but I saw your trailer and that's my story. So what we're really trying to do is to validate the experiences of veterans, but also like ring the flood bell to the civilian population and say, hey, if you don't engage these guys and you don't not only like provide them the services they need, but allow them the opportunities that they deserve to keep leading us forward, then, I mean, you're missing the boat, you know? And I, you know, there's so many guys out there who are struggling, men and women, you know, who are just struggling with this experience, who are leaders. And what do? We thank them for their service and we go about our day, you know? So we're trying to change that conversation.
So you're trying to open up the communication between both sides and get this thing talked about, just open it up.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, your earlier question, if you could pick three people to see this film, you know, I won't pick three specific individuals, but number one, I want veterans to see it, relate to it, and feel like their experience is legitimized by it. Number two, I want civilians to see it and realize that they haven't engaged enough in the conversation that needs to happen. Number three, I'd like the government to see it and say, you made these people go and sacrifice for what this country stands for. You damn well owe it to them to allow them to keep leading while they're here. And until we do that, I don't think we're being true patriots.
Agreed. And number four, Dave and Giggles, because I mean, what's
also
a party
Dave and Giggles? Dave and Giggles and Matt, are you guys, the three of you, I guess you're in.
Yes, no, Matt.
I want your review.
Say something, buddy. Say something over there. I haven't heard a word from you.
Where's my squid brother?
Exactly.
I've been writing notes to Giggles, as I will now call him forever.
Giggles and Giggles. There you go.
No, I agree with a lot that what he has to say, the disconnect between people who don't have any part of the military lifestyle. People don't connect because they don't have that opportunity to be a part of it. And until you are like really are a part of it, you don't realize what it's about. And there's different military experiences with everybody. I mean, from 2 years to 22 years, there's all sorts of different military lives that go on. So it's really interesting to hear. And I always hear people talking about the gap between people who just, you know, say support the troops, but they don't really know what they're supporting or really believe in what they're supporting. They're just kind of following the Facebook flow of things. And it's unfortunate that they don't know everything about what really happens when you're, you know, out in the field or out in combat or, you know, where there's a chance where you might not live to the next day or, you know, nothing's going on, but you're just, you know, you have so many different people in the military from all different lifestyles and all different walks of life. So it's truly, military is honestly a great thing for a lot of people that are in there. Sometimes it's not the greatest thing for people, but it does teach you so many things about the world. So,
right. Well said. Well said, buddy.
I love the Marines too. I just want to say that they were on my. I was on a LSD 47, the USS Rushmore, and I had a lot of brother Marines
like
there. What's that?
Like acid?
Like acid?
Never mind. You said LSD. It just popped into my head.
Like just acid, just like that. That's. It's
kind of the same thing. It's the same trip.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish what you were saying.
You know what? They don't the kind of portrayal of Marines against Navy is is not really what it seems. I mean, everyone works with each other, and they're some of the greatest guys you will ever meet.
I think we should settle this in a softball field.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, all of our docs were Navy. I mean, in the infantry, all your corpsmen are from the Navy. And there's absolutely, except for the night of the Marine Corps ball, when they show up in the Cracker Jack outfit. Any other day, though, there's no difference.
So they show up in their Cracker Jack outfit, and you start throwing fists. Is that what happens?
No, we joke around about the difference in uniform, and we break balls. But it's just like two brothers breaking balls.
Of course.
The civilians love to pit us against each other, but it's really not that way.
No. It's like the fire department and the police department. When they're gonna be fighting hand in hand and all the whole way through. But
we don't shoot innocent guys in Missouri.
That's true.
Yikes.
Yikes. That's getting political. On that note, so is it Facebook/War to Wisdom? Is that what it is, right?
The Facebook page is facebook.com/FromWarToWisdom.
From War to Wisdom. Got it.
Yep.
So From War
and
to
I'll
Wisdom.
Just, yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to say something real quick about this story is Marine Corps heavy, but the reason for that is that, and again, this goes back to access. The way the film developed was through me meeting Josh, me meeting the guys he fought with, and then reaching out through those circles. So the story circles developed organically. So it's definitely sure. Marine Corps heavy, but that doesn't mean for one second that we're trying to minimize any branch of service.
It's, nobody's
as
saying
a storyteller,
that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. I just want
nobody's
to make that
saying
clear
that.
For
nobody's
all audiences. And I, believe me, I stay out of those. I stay out of those arguments. I'm a civilian, man.
We all know that the Navy is the best.
We all know.
Well, I'll let you guys sort that out. I just want to put that out there. As a filmmaker, a story develops organically, and we have come across other guys who are trying to make films and reaching out to people they don't really know. There's guys in our film who've been in other films where they said when they were interviewed, the people just didn't quite understand them enough to ask the questions that you have to ask. Sure. So the Marine Corps trajectory in the film is really based around an organic story that developed. But we all know that it takes all branches to make the machine run. But, I'll let you guys sort out the rest of it. That's just my job as a diplomat to put that out there.
You're a great diplomat, Dan. Nobody's accusing you of anything. So facebook.com/FromWarToWisdom. Go there. Go support the movie. I say, why don't we have you guys on again when we're closer to, finishing this thing, and we can, hash it out then a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Cool. Let's get together all in one place. I'll buy you all a beer, Marine Corps, Navy, or civilian.
There it is. All right, I think we're going to end this one, and we're going to play the last song you sent me, which was Mama Don't Come Home. Am I correct?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Whiskey at Home.
Wait, that one I played already.
Take that again.
Whiskey at Home. We're going to play
Reset.
Whiskey at
Reset.
Home.
Take it again.
Reset. It's been a long show. It's been a long day. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to battle the war between Navy and freaking Marine Corps here. I mean, give me a break, guys.
And thank you for having us on the show, by the way. It's a pleasure
Absolutely,
to be back
man.
On Dave and Giggles, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
Very much.
Yeah, we'll spread it.
All right, cool,
we'll give
man.
You the show. So, guys, thank you for coming on. I was going to say thank you for your service. That just sounds – it sounds cheap.
It is. Especially coming from you. I don't know why, but
– No, I look forward to seeing this film come to fruition. You guys got good heads on your shoulders, and I'm glad you guys are following your dreams here with this. This is cool to see, you know?
All will definitely be at the premieres, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely. Look forward to meeting you guys.
You have a good rest of your Veterans Day, and we'll see you on the next time, all right?
Right on.
Sounds good.
All right, bye.
Thanks for coming on.
Yep.
stars and old Ramadi. They shine much brighter than home. I'd still rather be there than back where I'm from. I'd still rather